We're only given a very short part of Isaiah chapter 7. But if you looked at that chapter in its entirety, you see more and more the parallel between Ahaz and Mary. They are both asking questions because the situation that they're both in is one that they do not fully understand. Ahaz was the king of Judah for 20 years, from the year 735 to 715 BC. And here in chapter 7, we are given insight into something that is happening. The northern neighbor, that is the country of Israel, and is under the leadership of a king by the name of Pekah, has gone into an alliance with the Syrian king, a man named Rezin. You don't have to remember all of these names, but the important thing is the following, that they want to come down into Judah, to Jerusalem, and they want to usurp Ahaz's throne. They want to put on that throne a king by the name of Tabeel, and the name Tabeel means good for nothing. So, here's King Ahaz, worried about King Good for Nothing taking his place. And so, as often happens when we are fearful, we try to take matters into our own hands. And remember the year I said it was between 735 and 715 BC? The dominant superpower at this time is Assyria. And so what King Ahaz says he's going to do, I'm going to go into an allegiance with the king of Assyria. And he chooses to do so. Not only does he go into this alliance with a guy by the name of Tiglath-Pileser, that's the king of Assyria. Again, another name you don't need to remember. But the important thing is that Ahaz sells out to the Assyrian king. Not only does he show the king the Jerusalem temple, he takes gold from the temple, gives it to the king. He takes gold from his palace and gives it to the king. And so in the end, Ahaz becomes good for nothing. Because rather than trusting in God, he takes matters into his own hands. And what we see here is his fear. Now, here's the amazing thing. In this political context, we have the only place in the Old Testament where the name Emmanuel is mentioned. Nowhere else. And of course, it is this most beautiful verse that Isaiah shares with the king, that a virgin will conceive and bear a son. Now we need to appreciate scripture on two planes. There's the literal reading, and then there's the deeper spiritual reading. On a literal level, partly what Isaiah was saying to King Ahaz is that, hold on, don't freak out. That it might even be that your wife is going to conceive and will have a son. And if you seek to trust in the Lord, by the time this boy grows to be a man, that northern kingdom and all that they're trying to do, they will be no more. And indeed, we know that it was during the reign of this king Ahaz that the northern kingdom of Israel did come to an end. But this is so difficult because when things are hard, it's so easy for us to take matters into our own hands. And that's why the second, more spiritual reading, or the prophetic reading of this verse is so significant for us. Because in a way that Isaiah would never have known, and Ahaz would not have known, that what they were saying at this time were words that would find their fulfillment, of course, when Jesus would be born of the Virgin Mary. But let's just take this a little bit farther. For you see, we're always living our faith in a world where there is political turmoil, where there is always upheaval and uncertainty. Jesus was born into a world that was rife with political strife and difficulty. And what we are invited to consider this morning is what is most shaping our hearts. Is it Twitter feeds? Is it the latest news that at times does nothing more than kind of shake us? And actually, there's a beautiful part of Isaiah 7 where it says that Ahaz was shaken like a tree when he heard of the alliance between Israel and Syria. Are we living our lives with that kind of feeling of being shaken? Or are we learning to cultivate with our Blessed Mother that deep trust? We don't have all the answers. We have questions. But that we are learning to cultivate an interior place where we are learning to be still. This is very difficult in a world like this. Because all of us, well, most of us, are so drawn to our screens and that they just define so much of how we see the world. But if we can come to the place where we meditate more upon the Annunciation, we see the biblical drama unfold, and it's articulated in this way. For you see, in this encounter between Gabriel and Mary, we see the graceful manner of our God. Now, within the myths of the ancient world, whenever the gods entered into our world, they often did it violently, almost like a rape. But what do we see with Mary and the angel Gabriel? It is a sweet invitation of the angel, something very different from the mythologies of that time. And what we see here is Mary's freedom, we see Mary's dignity, and her curiosity on display. How will this be? What's going to happen? But she has about her a stillness because she trusts in God. For you see, the angel Gabriel courted Mary like a heavenly messenger. That is our faith. This is our understanding of how God comes into this crazy world where alliances are always being made between powers that are strong. And if we're not careful, too easily we can become like Ahaz and allow the news of the world to define primarily how we live. As we move towards Christmas and we celebrate Emmanuel, there's always this other news feed that far fewer people are paying attention to. But it is the news feed that is most important. It is the news feed that can still our hearts and our souls. It is the news feed that says, I am Emmanuel, God with you. Look, look carefully for signs of my presence, most especially in the Mass, where my presence becomes the greatest present you can have during the course of your earthly pilgrimage. May we continue to prepare for Christmas with Mary and the angels.